It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, our guest breaks down the myths and realities behind the so-called rise of Asian Americans.
First, estimates released today from the United States Census Bureau show that one of Milwaukee's most persistent problems isn't getting better.
The city's poverty rate sits at 29%. That's unchanged from a year ago. And it's still significantly higher than the national rate of about 15%. That puts Milwaukee as the nation's fifth most impoverished big city. So when it comes to fighting poverty in Milwaukee, what's working, what's not, and what else needs to be done?
Here with us now to try to answer some of these questions is David Pate. He's an associate professor at the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare at UW-Milwaukee and affiliate of the Institute for Research on Poverty. David, thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Thanks for inviting me.
So we've got the stubborn 29% poverty rate in Milwaukee for the year of 2014, and hearing that it's unchanged since last year, what was your first reaction?
My first reaction was that I wasn't surprised because I've seen that over time there's been a number of issues that have affected particularly black families in Milwaukee, but particularly black men, which is the area of work that I've done for the last 20 years. Some of the things that I've seen that have been significantly affecting these men is just their lack of access to any type of job that's going to enable them to take care of their families, and if they're single, take care of themselves. So I wasn't totally surprised, but at the same time, I know there's been some initiatives to do some to make some differences in the city, but I think that because this problem has been so persistent and has a historical historical presence to it, it makes for a difficult issue to solve.
You mentioned jobs as being a persistent issue as part of this package here, but what about some of the other routes, maybe the decline in manufacturing, for instance?
Yeah, well, for the last four decades, we've seen a significant lack of jobs availability. And one of my colleagues at UW, Mark Levine, who has done a lot of work on this particular area, has expanded beyond what we call the employment rate or unemployment rate to look at joblessness. And so because of the last four decades of manufacturing moving out of Milwaukee and also the issues that confront these men around the issues of incarceration, which we haven't talked about, Milwaukee has some significant interaction between those two. When you have a high rate of incarceration, that being that 50% of black men have been incarcerated in Milwaukee, your chances or your opportunities for work are just much less available to you.
Now, when you start looking at these figures closely, the striking thing is these stark racial disparities. Poverty rates, for example, among non-Hispanic whites, that's a 15%. Among Hispanics, 32% going up. And among African Americans in Milwaukee, 40%. How do you account for those stark racial disparities?
You know, again, we have to look at how has history allowed this particular group in Milwaukee to be able to be employed, but also some of the newer data that we're receiving, and this is, again, a report from EPI at UWM, has looked at the incarceration rates, and I think we really have to have some real discussion and real understanding of how, one, the lack of job availability, much of what William Julius Wilson talks about a lot in his work, is that when work disappears in any given community, and particularly for men, and unfortunately, we live in a society where men are provided with a lot higher pay rate than women. Women still get paid 78 cents on the dollar compared to men. And if you look at black men, they're not employed. And so therefore, you're leaning on a population of people where, if you gendered this whole discussion and women are the ones who are carrying the communities, there's not as much income coming into communities. There's not as many high-paying jobs. Therefore, we have allowed, or unfortunately, we have a system or a group of people who are not able to still reach the American dream or have the opportunities to do that. And for Latinos, who I don't know a whole lot about, but I do know they are still within this population of minorities who are just confronted with what jobs are available to them that's going to enable them to take care of their families.
Now, Mayor Tom Barrett talked to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he said, look, we do have some jobs programs that are ongoing, jobs that are funneling people from prison into jobs to transition. He said he's been urging people to go into construction jobs, some of these development jobs that are there, and that there is effort going on, but yet this number is still sitting there at 29. So what does that tell you about the mayor's initiatives so far, the city's initiatives?
I think the mayor's plans are well intended. I think he is, of course, trying to tackle something that's very difficult. However, when I look at these programs, and I've been doing research with some of these workforce development groups for the last 3 years, these men present with a lot of issues that are just not, I need a job. There's a lack of housing available to these families. So therefore, if you don't have a place to live and you can't wash yourself on a daily basis or comb your hair or brush your teeth even, you can't get a job. And so housing is a significant issue for these very low-income families that I talk to, particularly Black men and Latino men. The other things is that these jobs also have what we would call a social network or a job referral. If anyone wants to think about their own way of getting a job, it's generally through someone they know or somebody who's been made the referral for them. But if your group of people you work with are primarily people who are also unemployed, you don't have very many people who can refer you to a good paying job.
We're talking right now with David Pate from UW Milwaukee and an affiliate on the Institute for Research on Poverty. We're talking about the latest poverty statistics in Milwaukee. Milwaukee at a rate of 29% for the second year in a row. And the numbers not encouraging when you look at the past 6 years or so. Now, we're hearing about a boom in construction in Milwaukee along the downtown, and that, look, there's a renaissance here going on. So why hasn't that then trickled down to the rest of Milwaukee in general?
I wish I had the answer to that one. I really do. And I'm not trying to be flip about this, but I really don't understand why there are so many jobs or what appears to be a lot of growth going on in Milwaukee. However, the people who look and present as and who have these significant issues and challenges in the city are not getting those jobs. One, for a variety of reasons. A lot of these men may be fearful of coming out of their communities to do the work because they may have fees and fines that don't allow them to do that for fear of being picked up by the police. These men walk around when you get out of jail with probation and parole fees. So when you leave prison, you don't stop paying your debt. You still have an ongoing debt you're paying. They may have high child support debt. They may have municipal fees that are related to their maybe driving without a license or driving a car with that's not registered. And also, many of these construction jobs may place them on a job on a temporary basis through these temp agencies, but after a certain period of time, they lose that opportunity to stay on that job because they don't want to be hired or can't be hired by those firms based on whatever the policy is around that. So, again, there's a number of issues that are very complex and complicated as to what's going on. And I really do wish I had the magic answer as to what it is. But I have a number of reasons why I think there's not an employment of these men. But I do think a lot of it goes to discriminatory and of practices that are in place.
Now, is this a problem that can be fixed by the city of Milwaukee alone, or are we talking about bigger societal issues here? Maybe the state level for a first stop, maybe society at large looking at problems of incarceration and policing, too.
Yes. I think you hit the nail on the head right there. I think it's not just a community-based and county-based issue. It's a state issue. Wisconsin has unfortunately been seen as one having the worst incarceration rates for Black men in the country. We've been seen as having the worst unemployment rates for Black men in the city of Milwaukee. In fact, a couple of years ago, we were number one in the highest unemployment rates for Black men, except for Detroit and Buffalo, New York. So I think that as a county, as a city, we look pretty bad as it pertains to Black men. But also Madison, Wisconsin has its issues as well, which we haven't talked about. I know Milwaukee's the focus. But, you know, recently there was a big race to equity report that came out that really highlighted the issues of disparity. So the structural issues of race and gender and class need a much bigger discussion than we've heard in the past, particularly as it pertains to a city, a state that has outstanding employment rates and outstanding education rates, but people who are of color are not doing as well for whatever reasons that I think need to be brought out in the public.
So given that you say this is a bigger issue, but at the moment this is a problem that's being laid at Milwaukee's doorstep.
Yes.
What would you have Milwaukee do? What would you recommend?
I think Milwaukee would be it's in a great place to do some things around transitional jobs. I know that Mayor Barrett has talked about traditional jobs. I think we need more of those. I think it would be a great place to also think about how do we do some expungement of people's records and what does that mean? It'd also be a great place to look at some of the debts that men carry around. One of the things that I've been studying at IRP for quite some years has been child support. And what does child support do to people's lives when you have very big debts that accumulate over over time that you can't pay off. And Milwaukee's been very forefront about trying to make some of that happen by having these meetings over all over the city where they do reduce people's debt that they owe to the state, which is an option they have through the federal government, and the state can take that option. Also, I think that we need to really look at what housing is available to men. There are some really good initiatives that are going on in Milwaukee, but I think that if we can deal with the shelter, if we can deal with some of the employment, and also if we can deal with some of the mental health issues that people are confronting on a daily basis from their inability to take care of themselves and their families, I think we would be much further along.
David, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
That was David Pate, Associate Professor at the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare at UW-Milwaukee and an affiliate of the Institute for Research on Poverty. He joined us to talk about the latest poverty numbers in Milwaukee.